Hello, ladies and gentlemen, it is Red Teens here, and welcome back to our political podcast. And as you know, we always report the best news, or you would say not really the best news, but definitely the biggest news stories, and we might head towards some other discussions, such as funny articles or anything else that I might find on the way of searching the web. But again, this is really trying to start up new content, because I do believe that podcasts need more than just regular old discussions and like that. And just news analysis, because podcasts themselves need to be extended. They cannot be just me reporting the news consistently. We have to extend content in order for you, to viewer, or more listener, to actually get more out of the podcast than before. Because, as I said, this is my belief. It doesn't mean it's yours, but I'm just saying this is what I'm going to try. I'm going to try, as I said, to make new content, such as maybe in the future, interviews, more discussions, and such as that with a few additions. But that is really what I got to say for this intro. So we're going to actually move on to the very next, or actually more of the very first article, which is, in fact, at least from what I've heard, the biggest thing for even today, and probably going to be the biggest thing for a couple of days. Virginia Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax, the one accused already of sexual assault, received another account of sexual assault. And I'm just saying out here, I'm not going to believe that these are true yet, because I'm not going to be like, you would say, the Me Too movement. They're like, always believe women, because if you don't believe women, you're a bigot. I believe not men or women, I believe facts. That is what I believe. And that's always been what I've at least viewed on, because that's just what I believe politicians would be looking for. They should not be believing a certain party, believing a certain group, a certain race, a certain gender, and certain anything else. They should only believe one thing, facts and facts alone. But again, we're going to move back right into it. So the Fox News article version of this states that Virginia Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax was hit with a new allegation of sexual assault on Friday afternoon, just days after the embattled Democrat was accused of assaulting a separate woman in 2004. Fairfax denied the newest allegation, labeling it demonstrably false or something like that. But the claim swiftly inspired calls for Fairfax to resign. Multiple 2020 presidential hopefuls, including Senator Kristen Gillibrand, Democrat of New York, and Cory Booker and Elizabeth Warren, demanded he step down. Past and recent Virginia political chaos also called for his resignation, or not political chaos, but more politicians. So yeah, I agree with the politicians. At this point, Virginia is just in too much trouble. They got their governor in the blackface scandal. They now got their lieutenant governor, which would have been the replacement for him, in the sexual assault allegations that could destroy his whole life. And I've always said this about this, because this always relates to other cases such as the Kavanaugh case. Because I've always used the Kavanaugh case as a big point for my political discussions and such as that. But again, so if these allegations are true, Virginia is going to have possibly two people already resigning. So then they're going to have to bring in the third guy. And then the third guy is already actually resigning again for a blackface incident, which I don't know if it's really related to Northam's incident at all, but I've heard at least that he's planning to at least resign, or there are rumors that he will resign eventually. But do not quote me on that, because I, in fact, have said, and I say this again, I'm not sure about it, but that's what I've heard. So again, the Northam sexual assault allegations, this is going to just completely hit the Democrats, because look at Elizabeth Warren. She's getting into trouble with her sense of her Native American, because more evidence, and I've actually heard of this just yesterday, but I forgot to put it to the podcast, that she, in fact, is getting into more political trouble with the documents that she sent to certain colleges or certain universities and such that put her in Native American heritage, which is in fact damaging her hopes for a presidential 2020 bid. I actually heard from a certain, I think, news site called the Next News Show or something like that. They said in fact that it would end her political career. I don't think so yet. I think Elizabeth Warren is only gonna, if she takes one more hit, I think Elizabeth Warren will be out, because Bernie Sanders obviously is dealing with the entire sexual misconduct allegations still against him since December or November. And she and Joe Biden is still not sure. And he's also receiving some rumors about his past, I think. That's at least from what I remember. And Senator Cory Booker, I don't consider him a threat. And I think that Because I've seen his ad. I think it was his first presidential ad or something like that. And it's not good. I think he's just trying. I think Cory Booker is going to get some support. That's what I believe. But I don't think he's going to win. You might say, but Red Teens, you've said this about Kamala Harris, and she's starting to become the top. Yeah, she's starting to get to the top of the Democratic structure of the party. But that doesn't mean that she will win. That just means she might be the presidential nominee, not that she'll win the race. Because she, in fact, supports Medicare for All, and she tried to attack the NRA like many others. Because she's also used certain tactics such as like Gavin Newsom. Because if you know who Gavin Newsom is, he's the new governor. He's extremely socialist. We already had Jerry Brown, which he was a disaster for California, if you know. And so overall, it's just, again, chaos for Virginia and continued discussion about who will get into the, you would say, presidential bid. Because all the candidates themselves, as I said, stated Kamala Harris. Because this is the thing that I've even heard from Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro stated on the Daily Wire that President Trump didn't need to do anything else. He just had to sit there and just, you would say, play the certain footage where she said that she would give off the, you would say, Medicare for All, because that obviously doesn't work, as I've discussed before, and her attack on, again, the NRA, because I've seen this, and I've made this my own point, and this is even from what my Ben Shapiro point too is that if she wants to attack gun owners and such as that with the putting the lawmakers that voted for guns to go into a room and see the children that were shot, yeah, it's horrible. But this is the thing. People want the same goals. This is what I've noticed about the certain years. We've turned away from each other. And I even admit it to the right. We've turned away from each other and we've become more separate, you would say. We've become more, we're trying to fight against each other. Because the thing is, before, the Democrats and the Republicans, they still argued. They weren't as violent now as they were then. And they at least had to say, well, we're trying to achieve this. Like climate change. Republicans don't believe in it as much, but they're still trying to make clean water and clean air and clean technology and clean electricity or clean power, I think. I'm not sure. I don't know much about certain subjects such as climate change and like maybe some law terms because I'm not the smartest person on politics. I really ain't. But again, so this entire situation, it really is going to determine the 2020 presidential bid because I think it is going to affect the Democrats in a certain way. I don't know if it's going to affect them in the enormous way it could with like the Bernie Sanders sexual misconduct because I definitely believe that those are going to at least change something because if Bernie Sanders is forced out of the presidency, I think Trump will have an assured win. I think Trump already has a big chance of winning. He just needs, if Bernie Sanders goes out, he's going to completely win. Even if Kamala Harris gained the full support of the entire Democratic Party, he would still win. He might not get as many electoral votes and might not even get as many popular votes, but overall, he would still win the election and continue on to say, as he has always said, make America great again. But we are going to move on to that, to a different discussion, more or less again, and this is more about Twitter and certain other panels. BuzzFeed has said, and if you know about BuzzFeed, they're probably one of the least trustworthy sources to get anything. That's even though I do sometimes use BuzzFeed to find certain news articles and see what they state about it, I still heavily don't trust them at all. Because I've seen them fail, because such as the BuzzFeed, in my opinion, scandal with their article that was supposed to attack Trump for the, I think, polling or something like that with Michael Cohen. It was completely debunked, and it probably just... Because, in fact, BuzzFeed had to fire about at least 10% of their staff because I think of certain incidents such as that. But BuzzFeed has reported that they wanted to, remove, I think, from YouTube, PragerU. If you know what PragerU is, it's a certain universe. I don't think it's an actual university, but it's a certain organization that leans more conservative, but they put out five-minute videos that are informational. I've watched many of their videos. They're pretty good. They have loads of information. I would recommend you to watch them to find more information because I have definitely learned some things from PragerU, such as on the abortion topic. I've learned that. On the death penalty, I've learned that from PragerU because before I would have just been discussing about how it would be fair. Now I have actual evidence that can back up my point. So once again, look at the PragerU videos and other videos out there that will help increase your political knowledge, such as me. But we're going to move back to the Twitter incident. So Twitter, they've been attacking a lot of people, and they've been banning a lot of people who, in fact, if you know about the NPC on a computer such as that, it's like it's non-player controlled, which means the computer or the system itself, or maybe even the game or whatever, controls that character. And so they put up like a little image. It's kind of like a gray character with a blank stare. And so a lot of people put that up against protests, against leftists, because the thing is, if you really do notice about the leftists, they really do it say they can't, because this is the main thing that I've always heard from the meme itself. Orange man bad and hippity hoppity. We have communism, no private property and such as that. It's more of just the meme, but Twitter instead has been banning thousands of people who have it. And I think it's also funny, but at the same time, a little bit of a threat to free speech, because it's not as large as such as the EU trying to silence certain others, so in like the community in Britain and such as that. But it definitely is, you would say, an attack against free speech, because Twitter also banned certain other users for a certain post that talked about how the women with the, you would say, at the Supreme Court, but the State of the Union speech were wearing white. The joke was that they haven't seen people wear that much whites since the KKK. And I thought it was funny. I think it was a little bit, maybe not really offensive, but definitely a little bit of a, on the, not like a really joke you'd probably tell your kids, but it was funny to my opinion. But I think, in fact, the user was banned, or at least the image was taken off of Twitter. And I still do believe that Twitter, because there is no doubt in my mind, every network has an opinion. Google has an opinion. YouTube has an opinion. Twitter has an opinion. Spotify has an opinion. I was meant to say that. They all have opinions, because you can't just say, well, the platforms, they're all neutral. No, they're not. Google was even proven that they were actually against Trump heavily. And that's why sometimes even when you search idiot, as another Democratic senator or representative said, it gives off Trump as one of the top images. And so it also, because Twitter has been recently been leaning more and more left. Before, they were more of in the middle, maybe a little bit of left, but they weren't really attacking conservatives, you would say. Now, since like the rise of Alex Jones and such others, they have been completely suspending, banning, and attacking other conservatives. Because even though my Twitter account hasn't been attacked, I think the main reason is just because I'm such a small guy. I only have, what, like 3 followers? So it's not really like I'm going to get much attention. But overall, it really is. Because if Twitter continues to put this behavior out, it's going to tell people we don't need platforms anymore. And I don't really use Twitter to really bring out my platform other than posting my podcast onto Twitter for my 3 followers and such as that. But again, I still try to just leave it as it is and continue on with my life. Because even though I do depend on technology such as this to do my podcast, I still have a life to go. And because like I video game with my friends, I run sports, I do sports more would be the correct term. And yeah, I have a whole entire life ahead of me that I really want to take advantage of. But if I conduct myself with technology such as Twitter and obviously Spotify and others, then I'm just going to lose it. I'm just going to lose it, and I'm going to become one of those millennials who say, was socialism good because we don't want to work? And I've always said this. Socialism just wants to aid millennials who don't want to work and just want to sit on their butts playing like Rainbow Six Siege and getting hundreds of dollars from the rich people. Even though you might say, but Red Teens, you also have a lighter view on the taxing the rich. I think that we should tax the rich by a very small amount, maybe a little bit more. But the thing is, I'm still heavily against like Ocasio-Cortez and Elizabeth Warren. And Elizabeth Warren just saying right here, because I just remember this, Elizabeth Warren, in fact, makes millions, and she's attacking the rich. So it's just a big iron. But again, that's really what at least I have from the point of view, because over the certain times, the attacks on free speech and the hypocrisy by certain people, mainly to the left, they really have made me, in a sense, not really angry, but definitely frustrated by what has happened recently, as I said. But we're not going to stay on this for long because I don't really like the getting the rants. I just like to discuss news and events going on, as you know. So we're actually going to move on to the next article. So the next news article that comes from Fox News. Let me get it up. So the next news article we have from Fox News is in fact Trump. Wait. Let me find it. Sorry. Trump confirms details on second summit with North Korea touching its potential economic powerhouse. So as again, I reported about, I think, over 10 podcasts ago or something like that about the confirmed meeting with President Trump and Kim Jong-un. And I stated how great it was for America that we were actually succeeding. But still remember, I've always said this every time I report on such things on North Korea. We still got to watch out for their trickery because during the Obama administration, the Bush administration, and such as that, and even probably the Clinton administration, they tricked us. They tried to say, we're going to give peace. We're not going to betray you. Then we lift the sanctions. We give them aid. And they say, screw you. We're taking this, and we're going to keep building weapons. I still don't trust Kim Jong-un, as I've said. But I am trying to at least give a little bit of hope in that he's actually agreeing to us and that this is not just one of Kim Jong-un's elaborate trick, as if this was like his big trick of them all and that he was going to fool America into thinking that they were finally appearing as nice people, or not really nice people, but as a changed society, and that Kim just pulls it all back. But again, I don't know if I really believe that. I am still kind of middle on the Kim situation, but that is where I got a comment. So the Fox News article states that following what is called a productive meeting between a top U.S. envoy in Pyongyang, Trump tweeted Friday evening that a time and date for the second summit have been agreed upon. Quote, I will take place in Hanoi, Vietnam on February 27th and 28th, he tweeted. I look forward to seeing Chairman Kim and advancing the cause for peace. This comes from Trump's Twitter account. My representatives have just left North Korea on a very productive meeting. We've agreed upon time and date in the second summit meeting with Kim Jong-un. It will take place again in Hawaii, Vietnam. And I kind of do agree with the setting of where the meeting is, because the meeting place is definitely great, because even though I did say on my original podcast that I wanted the meeting to be in North Korea because I thought it would just be a little bit better than having it in Vietnam, still, it's okay. It's not like a really, you would say, terrible situation or just overall not great for the Americans. But I still think we could improve with at least one meeting, because this is probably going to take a long time. This is probably going to at least take the rest of Trump's presidency, as you know. And I do think North Korea, again, is going to be cooperative. I think if they show signs that they're going to actually let UN agents into their country to check this out, and they obviously don't hide any, then it might show a good indicator that North Korea has changed. Because I think the main reason, I've always said this, the main reason, at least from what my perspective is, Kim Jong-un gave up because he saw that he wasn't going to win the fight. Trump didn't need to attack him. He just had to sanction him heavily and just wait. It was really just a waiting game for Trump. He didn't need to do anything else but wait and see if North Korea cracks. And North Korea, as you know, has had always just a failing economy for probably since the Kim family rose in North Korea's government. And so it's just really, I think Kim at least realized, if it's as the story goes, said, we can't do this. We just can't. We're going to die. We're not going to have anyone left. Because the thing is, North Korea has this, I think, at least second or seventh largest military in Asia. And look at North Korea. It's one of the, not one of the smallest countries overall, but it's definitely a small country. I think they hold at least 20 million people there. That is a lot. South Korea, it does hold 50 million people, and I consider it almost an abundant amount of people to even be held in such an area. But South Korea is obviously still stable, as you see. But again, Trump's meeting with Kim Jong-un, make or break again for the Trump presidency. So again, I've always said this about the meeting, again, also added again, as I've said. This could be probably one of the biggest achievements of U.S. president, and this could very likely secure Trump's presidency. If he gets a victory out of this, he will very likely just not even have to do anything else as presidency, because he can just make the argument that he absolutely annihilated terrorists in the Middle East, Islamic terrorists, and he made a peace deal and de-armed North Korea, which probably saved people such as me, because I obviously live in California, and other states nearby the Pacific much more safe. So again, big event going on in February 27th. Just overall, you would say large, not really large things, but big things. Again, I'm sorry if the vocabulary is not very, you would say, exquisite. Sorry, again, but exquisite or whatever, because I can't really get the word out because I'm trying to find it in my mind, but I can't really find it right now. But again, it's just going to be just enormous for Trump's presidency if he succeeds. But we're going to move on from that to the very next news article. So the very next news article comes from CNN. The article states, Cory Booker compares Green New Deal to defeating Nazis. That just sounds weird. Well, not really weird, but that sounds a little bit confusing. So it states, Senator Cory Booker, Democrat from I think it's New Jersey, actually, defended his support on the controversial Green New Deal on Friday by comparing the government-led push to overhaul the nation's economy and energy sector to landing on the moon and defeating the Nazis in World War II. I think that's beyond an overestimation. The thing about us beating the Nazis and landing on the moon, they were scientific advancements. The Green New Deal, it's not an advancement. It's just an idea for at least now and I hope forever. Or at least, because I've said this about the Green New Deal. I support the idea, but I don't support what it's going to do. And I had a big discussion about it two podcasts ago about how the Green New Deal was only going to be great for the country if we were able to sustain it. But not for now, obviously. And again, Senator Cory Booker, I've never liked him. I only knew him until the Kavanaugh case because I didn't actually have any idea who he was. I just heard of him in the Kavanaugh case when he was going to present some files that would cause him to resign when they actually were completely invalid and turned out that it was an entire sham. Maybe not a sham, but definitely a failure on Senator Cory Booker's part. So the article goes into more detail with, quote, there's a lot of people now going back on the Green New Deal. They're like, oh, it's impractical or it's too expensive. Well, it is because it would cost over $2 trillion to pay for every year. Oh, and it's all this, he said at a stop in Manson City. If we used to govern our dreams that way, we should have never gone to the moon. God, that's impractical. See the ball in the sky? That's impractical. I don't really know what he just meant by that, so I'm not going to really comment on that. We are a nation that has done impossible things before. My parents taught me, reach for the moon, reach for the star. Even if you come up short, at least you're going to be hovering above the ground and you'll be soaring, young man. So we need to be bold again, America. We have dreams and other possibles. And so I think Cory Booker, I think he's trying to make this sound much better than what it actually is, because Cory Booker really does, in my opinion, overestimate things on his side because he doesn't really look at it. He knows that it's obviously going to cost a lot of money, but he doesn't look at what it's really going to do to everything, because the Green New Deal is virtually, as I looked at it before, again, it's going to eliminate planes. It's legit going to eliminate planes and very likely cars. So I actually joked with one of my actual friends about how we're just going to have to bike everywhere. And then he said, oh, that means we're going to have to bike across the ocean just to get to Europe. I was like, yeah, that's really literally what the Green New Deal states, is that we can't use anything. Planes, cars, maybe boats, factories, such as that. We cannot use any of that because it would cause damage. And I still agree. The climate changes all the time. And we do, and we recently do have a soar in temperature. But it is not as big as when Ocasio-Cortez again said, oh, the planet's going to be destroyed in 12 years, which sounds like a Nostradamus. If you don't know who he was a big predictor, or whatever like that, who predicted that the Earth was going to be destroyed within, I think, either the 2000s, but obviously we're still alive. And so, overall, Senator Cory Booker trying to put out a great point for the Democrats, but not succeeding anyway, to at least what I see. But that's going to really end our podcast right here. So again, as I've said, we are going to be extending the content. I might try to get an interview with someone I know, either in my family or maybe someone I at least know friendship-wise overall. I was actually planning before to do a public speaking event and then have it recorded by either someone I know so that I can maybe post it on the podcast and such as that, or at least posted on Twitter. But the public speaking event passed. But I am obviously still going to be looking forward to doing one of those, because I am really excited to do those, because as I get said in before, they are going to be very important for my future in politics if I go into any kind of future. But as I said, that's going to be really the end. So I thank you for listening. I hope you have a great rest of your night, and I hope you have a great day in the future.